go for episode number 90 of We Talk Comics, WTC, once again on the air and in your ear. I'm Mo, and I am joined by Keith, and Keith is going to introduce himself this week by saying, finishing this sentence, reading comic books to me is like blank.
Reading comic books to me is like visiting with old friends and making new ones.
Ooh, that's so sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Brett.
Reading comics to me is like exploring brave new worlds of adventure.
Well, that just sounds like you're trying to... Okay, no, that's nice, Brett. It's not as sweet as Keith, but... Chris?
Cuddling up in a warm blanket. It's like going home.
All right. I can't say it to me what it's like because we want to keep this. It's not episode 69. I'm trying to keep this a little... Anyways, not adult. Anyways, I'm Mo. That's Keith. That's Brett. That's Chris. Comicosity is the sponsor of the weekly news with cub reporter K, who is Keith. Comicosity, by the way, in case you haven't taken a look. Not only is there amount of articles they're producing getting better and bigger and constantly all the time, Comicosity are proud sponsor and an excellent website, adding reviewers constantly. And just in general, news, it just continues to expand. I didn't think they could get better than they were a year ago. They're a better site today, and they'll be a better site tomorrow. They're amazing me every single day. Comicosity is run by the two classiest men in comic books. That would be our friends Aaron Long, a.k.a. at Juice005, and Matt Centauri Griffith. Photocub with an F on Twitter.
And now all right. It is the news time. It is... Well, we'll have some of the more controversial news later in the episode. It's been a while since we've had a regular episode. Last week hardly seemed regular. last week was
I'm not sure.
A dry
to be honest
run.
With you, I don't think this one really counts as regular either. Since we'll explain it right now. This episode is called episode 90 Chain Reaction. When the casting news for the Superman Batman movie and who was playing Batman came out, Keith decided he wanted to get our reactions before we had heard. Get the first reactions for us, me and Brett, and he got our reaction. Chris had already heard. Matt, our good friend there from Comicosity that we mentioned, and he caught him. And so a good portion, about 40 minutes of the show is actually already recorded. So to say that this is a regular episode,
all right.
Several days ago.
We'll be back soon with a regular episode.
We'll never have.
Last week was throwing in stuff and out of order, and this week's already recorded largely. So several days ago, but anyways, chain reaction, Keith. Less controversial news. The news.
All right.
With Cup Reporter K, sponsored by Comicosity. If I didn't mention.
The best site on the website, on the web, on the entire web.
Or, getting better every day.
It is. I'm there right now doing stuff.
Probably getting the news.
There's a bit of news that got missed along the way. So I want to cover that. We talked about, Collider number one, from Vertigo a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, I guess it was. And we reviewed that book. We gave it, it was a bit mixed on our reactions, but it was certainly part of Vertigo's new launch. Starting a bunch of new stuff. With its second issue, Collider renames as FBP, the Federal Bureau of Physics. This is due to an intellectual property claim. Someone already had a claim on that name. So it will rebrand at number two.
Yeah, it was the weirdest really thing. I saw it on Comixology, and I'm like, Federal... Wait a minute. This sounds a lot like a book that I read.
You saw it on Comixology?
Number two just came out this week.
No, number two just came out.
Okay.
And I was looking at it like, wait a minute now. Federal Bureau of Physics, this was called something else before I know it.
Very sad.
Well, if we can have 47,000 different jack-o'-lanterns, why can't we have more than one collider?
Intellectual property is incredibly complicated. Complicated, that's why.
Okay.
there's something called fair use, and something like jack-o'-lantern would be too common.
Well, especially if the story had any level of similarity, then, I mean, you'd be pretty screwed. And fair use is obviously better in a case of a documentary, anyways.
The oxymoron is being put up on Comixology as its own series. They're taking some of the stories from the oxymoron hardcover, breaking them up into single issues, and those have started on Comixology for, I believe it's just 99 cents.
99 cents. Last week started.
That's right.
Good for our friends at Comics Tribe.
That's right. And hopefully we'll be seeing some more, particularly from the Mulvey after he's finally getting to wrap up Scam here really soon.
Yeah, we'll be finishing with an extra big double size.
I hope they don't let him out of the basement drawn away until he finishes that.
He's just going to have a wall of canned poutine beside him to so that he can finish off that book.
You can canned poutine.
Apparently you can.
No, but I was telling him I wanted to invent it. And he was asking, I was like, canned poutine? And he's asking me if that was a Canadian porn, which, tell you the truth, anyways, we won't go there because we already did.
We already did, yeah. This is why you should follow us, because we're very entertaining. We talk about canned poutine.
All right. All right, so now I have a mix of stories. Actually, I'm gonna leave those for the end. There's a new product has launched. This is called Nerd Block. I got this in my mailbox the other day. The flyer for it. It was kind of cool that something like this was getting mass marketed in traditional mail. Nerd Block is a Canadian company, and what they do is for $20 plus shipping, they send you a t-shirt and a pile of random geek nonsense once a month. Get it around the middle of the month. You just plug in your t-shirt size and you have no idea what's going to turn up in that box.
Chris is in.
I'm already in. I've already booked this thing.
That sounds pretty cool.
Forward the email to me, man.
You can buy that. It is just nerdblock.com. All of those words, both of those words spell just the way that they sound, nerdblock.com. And they are not a sponsor of the show. I just think it's a really fun idea. I have.
You know what, Keith? I don't know if it's a fun idea. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's somebody else who was trying to do 900 things and also finding it difficult. It was just like, I got to get this crap out of my house.
I wish I had thought of this.
Yeah.
No t-shirts.
Keith, just throwing it out there. How about Geek Block? Have you ever thought of that?
Just 10 random. I'll just put 10 random things into a box. Give me $30.
<It's> basically.
Wait a second. Is it too late to unsubscribe?
Yeah, I tell you what. When he sends you a box of 10 random things, I want you to take the return address and send him a box of 20 of your random things that you wanted to get rid of.
The return to sender on it.
Awesome. It's like, what the hell?
I'll just scratch my address out and fire it right back. That is a fantastic idea. I'm totally.
Or your other theory, just forward it off to Chris. Whatever, just forward off your box with your 10 things and put 10 of your own things and throw it off to Chris.
And Chris all right. His 10 things.
And if we
900 things, Chris is at 9 billion things. Yeah.
we do this right and none of us ever have to pay for shipping again.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, so who is a fan of the webcomic Gutters? Who's familiar with that?
Unfortunately, I'm not.
Really, you haven't come across this? Gutters.
So keep this.
Go ahead. Gutters is an online comic parody of the comic book industry. So they've been off for the summer, but they do two or three times a week. They do basically a page in comic format that parodies something going on in the comic industry. And they keep it pretty topical. usually within a couple of weeks of something coming up. They have launched a Kickstarter. They can no longer afford the overhead because these are, they're properly created art pages. So there is quite a bit of overhead to this book or to this webcomic. They package them up in hardcovers. And they've launched a Kickstarter, A Year in the Gutters. And some interesting original art in the reward levels. They have named the levels after Golden Age, Silver Age, the Stan Lee level, et cetera. And there's a guest writer level where you actually get to write one of the entries of the Gutters.
You know what? A Year in the Gutters is actually what I call age 23, age 27, age 31, age 34, 35, 36, 37, 38.
Not 39?
Well, 39 has been decent.
Well, that's right. You're still a young pup.
Out of the gutters.
I go like 10 hours without checking Kickstarter, and you scoop me on Kickstarter project. That really pisses me off.
This did just launch today as we record this. Yep. And they are, as we record this, $2,600 to their $15,000 goal.
Okay, but Keith, what I find really, I think you're glossing over very important news there. Chris goes on Kickstarter every 10 hours. That's probably not an exaggeration. That's probably an under-exaggeration. And yet he only has 9 billion things. But if you're wondering why, we may have found the problem.
He just goes on and searches for nothing but things about stand-up comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, exactly.
Oh, I was thinking of the other day, Chris, because I found a YouTube video that was a documentary about the hosts of horror movie, like late night horror movie channels.
Oh, God, it's awesome. Yeah,
you've seen it already. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, American Scary.
That's fabulous.
I've almost watched it a few times on Netflix. American Scary.
Oh, that's brilliant. All right, so now we'll get to the biggest controversy of the past week in our main segment, but now we've got a controversy that shouldn't have been, and a controversy that maybe should have been, as the last news stories here. We'll start by the one that I expected there'd be more pushback on, and yet we haven't seen it, the return of Ben Reilly in Scarlet Spider.
Yeah, Ben Reilly. What actually shocked me about this was they said because you demanded it on the cover of the news episode issue of Scarlet Spider, and I don't remember demanding this, and it's welcome, but I didn't hear a huge groundswell for Ben Reilly to return.
See, I don't know. I guess it's welcome. Is it? Let me put it to you this way, guys. I have no idea what's happened to Ben Reilly for the last decade. Can somebody fill me in real quick?
He's been dead.
How?
He died at the end. He died like just after the Clone Saga, like dead.
Did
like,
he?
Like they did it in such a way that they'll never ever bring him back because you all hated him so much. That was why they did it that way.
They're even bringing back that 90s cheesy, I'm doing a yoga workout costume.
I always loved that. I always thought it looked really cool. Thank you. I know I'm the only one, but I always loved that.
None of us have actually read the Scarlet Spider story, so we don't know if it really is Ben Reilly. Perhaps one of our listeners could tell us. But I do love the because you demanded it headline. I think probably as much demand as it was for Angela.
Angela probably had more demand.
Go back to Clone Wars in the Ultimate Universe. Why not? Why not? I mean, Ben Reilly deserves none of this anger that some of us have towards him. It was just a bad storyline from the 90s. There were lots of them. Scarlet Spider does not deserve to be the poster boy for bad story arcs.
Well, no.
That belongs to Capcom.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Okay, no. There is that, but as far as poster child for bad story arcs, yeah, I think you can make a strong argument. As far as a hateable character, He's the exact same as Peter Parker. What can he hate about? It's like no difference. His personality is the exact same.
I think, I think the big thing about Ben Reilly is that, they really intended to replace Peter Parker with a younger version, younger unmarried version of that character. And it was just ridiculous.
You never see DC doing that.
Well, Marvel doesn't reboot though. So they had to come up with a really convoluted way to do this.
Well, yeah. Hey, look, if DC wasn't rebooting, they'd still find a way.
Yeah, you can never replace Peter Parker as Spider-Man.
That's right. Yeah,
exactly. ridiculous.
Because the fans will not support it. They would stop buying that book. It would immediately drop out of the top 10. Oh, boy. So the controversy that shouldn't have been, because I can't tell you how much joy I had with the announcement end of last week of a storyline in Justice League of America when it gets retitled Justice League of Canada. What do you guys think of this idea? We've got Jeff Lemire, Canadian.
We talked about this. You realize we talked about
this. Yeah, you totally talked about it. This is coming up.
Brett did not.
No, Brett did not. Brett didn't talk about it.
Brett, react to Justice League. Stop being the silent partner here. Jump in with Justice.
I mentioned this going to feature a few pages of Whiteout. I mentioned, remember?
I enjoyed okay. it.
The picture to our last podcast is the cover.
Yeah, but
nobody's heard this yet. It's coming up.
Nobody's heard this yet. And I just said, I know. That's why I want Brett to respond.
Yeah, Mo, you have responded, so you're out.
All right, Brett.
It's like time travel. You will have responded. Yes. You've recorded your response last week, but the audience won't hear it until after we stop talking now.
Like a Doctor Who episode.
That's awesome.
Exile.
I sure hope that Justice League of Canada is better organized than that. I think it'll be very cool. It's the kind of thing that that I would definitely be into, and I do look forward to it, especially with Jeff Lemire. Sure. Why not?
He's a Canadian treasure.
He is a Canadian treasure.
But like Scott Snyder.
Absolutely. He's taking over Jeff Johns, a Canadian treasure.
Yes.
Yeah, good point.
Jeff Lemire, also winner of the Best Cartoonist Joe Shuster Award at the Shuster Awards that were just held last week. Just a quick reminder, Joe Shuster, co-creator of Superman. Let's hear it.
Canadian
treasure.
Canadian. much like Scott Snyder, like I say. Now, Brett, since we're getting your opinion on things that you didn't talk about last week, I know for a fact that you read Army of Darkness versus Hackslash.
Yes, I did.
I don't know what you thought of it yet, but since those two loved it and I hated it, especially Chris loved it, I just gotta hear. I gotta hear this.
All right. Well, I did read it. I had never read a Hackslash book before either. And I won't be reading a Hackslash book anytime soon, because if it's as awful as this piece of crap, then no, I can't read it, actually. You know, I tried very, very hard. There was that part of me that thought to myself, ooh, I should like this just to spite Mo, but it's so bad I can't even like it just to spite Mo.
I respect that you maintain your journalistic integrity, Brett, and didn't enjoy the book just to be contrary.
How about me here on camera? You respect how I'm retaining my integrity? As I'm dancing.
It's not an audio podcast. No one can see your dance and that you're twerking.
Yeah.
Probably for the best. No one knows you're twerking.
That's for sure. That is for sure. Mind you, we never thought you hadn't.
This week we all Googled twerking, didn't we?
Oh, you know it.
I practically invented twerking.
I totally had to Google twerking.
Like, I don't know what that is.
Although now I can go to the Oxford Dictionary and find twerking, so.
Oh, jeez.
That story seems so unlikely. I really need to find a good source online.
Twerking and selfie?
No, the Oxford Dictionary that it would add it that fast.
That seemed awful fast. Yeah, selfie I can kind of imagine, but
what the hell's a selfie?
It's where you take a picture of yourself with a phone.
Yeah.
What's that? When you picture yourself taking a picture, you mean in the mirror?
No.
When you take a picture, well, you could do it in a mirror, I suppose, but usually it's done. Now it's usually done with a front-facing camera, and you do the ducky face thing, and you kind of like,
that
thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, any picture of yourself is technically a selfie, but really the best.
Here, by the way, in case I've never mentioned it before, our audience, and thank you very much for listening, very lucky that unlike the Hangout, not on a video podcast, let me tell you.
Very true.
Yeah, it's for the best. It is for
You wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to see me dancing and Keith doing a smoochy face.
No, I make a smoochy face. Chris doesn't wear pants.
I don't wear underwear, but that's
Brett's
a lifestyle choice.
Brett's got the swastika tattooed on his forehead. Yeah, his misspent youth.
Everybody's gonna lose a bet every now and then. All right, let's. You got any other news there?
One last thing, and this is something that we haven't already recorded reactions that you won't hear yet. the new look for Lobo, designed by Ken Rockefort, and met with some unhappiness from big Lobo fans. You guys seen this?
No, yet? I didn't hear that. Why are both of them upset?
I think anybody who's ever seen Lobo and enjoyed the original incarnation of Lobo would be somewhat upset by this new Lobo.
I have not seen this. So you're saying to me, Google it right now?
You should probably
Google new Lobo.
Yeah.
I'm actually trying to find out if Skype has a share screen option, and I don't see it.
No, probably not. Google Plus might, but new Lobo. New 52 images.
New 52 logo might bring it up.
And nobody's upset about the new look for the Creeper. I am.
Nobody can remember what the Creeper used to look like.
I'm also upset about the new Solomon Grundy.
Solomon Grundy's been around for a year. It's time to get over that one.
Lobo now looks like Rye.
He does look a bit like Rye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you look at the right image because they have posted some bits that were kind of work throughs.
Well, admittedly, this is comicbook.com.
Yeah.
I hope it's the right one.
It probably is then.
Yeah.
It is a much slimmer Lobo. This is the character design. We have heard that what's going to be in the Villains Month special is a bit different than this design as they worked with it, bulked him out a little bit, but it is a very different look.
Yeah, I'm looking at a few images. Like I say it looks more like Rye or something like that. Like, I mean, I don't care, to be honest with you. I mean, it was Lobo.
Who's the biggest Lobo fan on the podcast here?
I collected the entire series.
I love that.
That doesn't tell me anything, Chris.
Yeah.
No, it really doesn't.
Yeah, Chris collects a series for 2 extra years after he decides to stop collecting.
Chris collected a series in the 90s that was everything, right?
So what you're telling me is it was published.
Yes. I think we can work with this new slimmer look. All we have to do is hire Rob Liefeld for a single issue, and Lobo will get beefed up.
Oh, yeah.
Lobo's look has always been a little bit adjustable. Remember his debut?
in Omega Man, yeah.
In Legion, he looked way
different.
Orange and
way different.
Spandex, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I missed in this whole thing is that Lobo actually didn't look like that for a long time after he debuted. It wasn't really until Bisley started drawing him that that he got, you know, kind of squarish and, you know, much rougher looking. I mean, he was when he, I mean, he was in orange and purple, and then even when he was in Justice League International, he was a slim character.
Look, here's the very truth about this. And people, you're saying generally people are upset with this?
I would say Lobo fans are generally upset with this.
Okay, Lobo fans are generally upset with this. The fact is, Lobo fans who are generally upset with this is that there aren't enough of you, or not enough of you bothered to support the character to the point where he has his own book and is successful. So, based on that, it the best thing you can do when you have a character, and we all read Lobo. We all enjoyed Lobo at one point, and you don't hear any of us saying something good about Lobo.
I'm not saying.
Okay. Most three of us enjoyed Lobo at one point. And you don't hear any of us saying anything good about this character now. And that's not because I couldn't pick up those ones in the past and still enjoy them. It's because the character's been stale for a long time. This is the best thing to happen to Lobo, the name. Because, let's face it, when you have something that is people... If you put out Lobo in Stormwatch right now, people see him and look the exact same, they're going to think, oh, God, Lobo again, and not get excited. There's no reason to be excited. Lobo is stale, and Lobo actually has... It's. I'm going to make a wrestling reference. I got to, as the co-host of We Talk Wrestling. No, seriously. All right, here we go. WWF bought out their biggest competition, WCW. WCW, for two straight years, was earning more money. They earned like $30 million profit. 2 years later, they're out of business because they ran the company so bad into the ground so quickly. WWF purchased them with the idea of putting them on the network as a separate show, but a competing brand that they owned. The reputation was so bad that they couldn't get it on a network anywhere. Nobody would touch it. They had to actually disband it and rename it under a different brand to have a chance. And that's what's happened with Lobo. The reputation has gotten so bad for this character based on what's happened to him over the years that the Lobo fans, and when I said two of them, I'm not far off. And if there's two of them, only one of them has enough money or cared enough to buy the book. The fact is that this character's reputation is so bad that remaining that look or keeping the same look actually does more damage to the brand than changing it, regardless of whether or not it's a failure. It's the best thing you can do. So there's my little mini Lobo rant. Does anybody have anything to say to that?
No, it's Lobo.
In other words, you went on 5 minutes too long on Lobo.
Yeah.
What you're telling me.
I have some concerns. Lobo was one of those characters in the DC universe that was funny. And if I was going to point out a problem with the New 52 is that we've lost a lot of the characters with whimsy. Now, this Lobo does not look like he's going to have the same comic relief characteristics that original Lobo did. Also, admittedly, part of the reason Lobo was bad at the end is they didn't have a lot of writers who could do funny.
Well, because
they've
it was
done
one
all
joke,
those yes. jokes 100 times.
Yeah.
So it's a legitimate concern. But for me, this also ties into the new look of Bizarro. This character is not going to be funny. I miss the missileplex of the DC universe. I would like some more comic relief. That said, I'm loving Larfleeze, so maybe I'm out to lunch.
Yeah, I was about to say, dude, as long as you got Larfleeze, then everything's fine.
Yeah, Larfleeze is hilarious. No, I mean, when it's one joke told 100 million times, it stops being funny. So just give me a good book. Give me an interesting character.
And that's the news.
All right. Well then, Keith, there was some other news as we're going to go off to the pre-recorded section of We Talk Podcasts or We Talk Comics on We Talk Podcast Network. What the hell, Keith? What happened here?
Set it up before you set it up.
I thought it was already set up.
It is set up, so set up the setup.
Do I have to reset up the setup? Well, Mo already told everyone.
The podcast.
This is still easier to understand than Age of Ultron number 10. By the time we get through the end of this, though, there'll be three Moes and and an extra Wolverine. that we'll never mention again. So the news came out about Batman and Superman. I, of course, am on Twitter much more than the guys. I see this. I know it's official. And I raced to Skype. I raced to my to text to try to get the guys before they hear the news of the casting. Of course, the casting of Batman. So here, in whatever order Brett decides makes sense, is me getting a hold of Brett, Matt, Mo, and then finally Chris to talk about the casting of Batfleck.
I just want to add on one thing, just because it's funny to me. So, I mean, you get Brett, Matt, like seconds after you're here. You get me 3 days later, still hadn't heard.
Major casting news in a comic book movie.
Yes, I've been at my best friend's house where I am not allowed to use my phone.
Matt is coming into this blind. I can't get a hold. I could not get a hold of any of my podcast co-hosts. I want to record someone's natural reaction to the news.
Okay, well, you know what? If there's any kind of news, you know, Mo's not going to know about it for weeks anyway. So,
well,
unless it involves the casting of the WKRP and Cincinnati reunion show.
Well, I was hoping to get Chris's reaction for some comic book attractions. Okay, all right. And it's not Bradley Cooper as Rocket Raccoon, but I mean you can respond to that one.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, whatever.
I
thought Glenn Close was going to be Rocket Raccoon, so you know, I think we're already ahead.
All right. Man of Steel 2.
Right. I'm assuming you're talking about Batman, maybe?
We have casting of Batman. It is official, confirmed by Warner Brothers and confirmed by DC Comics.
Oh.
Now, Matt, you were a big fan of Man of Steel.
So, yeah, I did. Yeah, I love Man of Steel.
And you were pretty feeling pretty positive on Superman / Batman, which is the untitled Superman-Batman project.
Yes, and more importantly than all of that, I was very fond of Henry Cavill's chest.
My wife actually has said that she would return to for a sequel, even though she didn't enjoy Man of Steel because of Henry Cavill's chest.
Yes, well, that would be what's called a given in our business.
All right, now you got to use your words. I'll be able to see your facial reaction, but you have to use your words.
Okay.
Batman will be played by Ben Affleck.
Get the...
Really? I mean, wow. He has a lot of work to do.
The voice here in the background is John.
Yeah, that would be my husband, whose reaction was stronger than mine. I mean, if you had told me he was the director, then perhaps that would be more reasonable because he's actually an excellent director, oddly enough. I mean, who knows? But, you know, I guess. I mean, he's not a bad actor. He's a better director. I mean, Argo, although I haven't seen it yet, but I hear Argo, he's amazing. But he's really rail thin. How are they going to do that? Of course, so was, what's his name? Christian Bale. Is he supposed to be old?
I guess he'll be, I'm guessing he'll be...
Like middle-aged Batman?
Middle-aged, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. That might not have been as strong as you were looking. I think Chris's reaction probably would have been stronger. And John certainly was, I guess.
That was a great
voiceover. I hope you picked that up.
Verbal ejaculation, as they would say in the Sherlock Holmes books.
Yeah, there you go. no, so in all seriousness, I've all of this stuff.
Not the most ringing endorsement, though. Yeah.
Well, no, but you know, I mean, I don't remember what I said about Christian Bale when he was picked, and I certainly remember what I said about what was the guy's name who did it the first time?
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Mike Keaton. I thought that was ridiculous.
I now have a call from Brett.
Oh.
So thanks for that, Matt. I'm gonna see if I can grab Brett. Hopefully he has not heard the news.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, great. Thanks for calling.
Good talking to you, Matt.
Yeah. Bye.
So you have been off Twitter. You have not heard any news.
I have heard no news whatsoever.
So, going in cold. Now you have not yet seen Man of Steel, correct?
I have not.
Okay. So you are neither here nor there so far on Man of Steel. Which leaves you kind of neither here nor there on Man of Steel 2, the so far untitled Superman-Batman project.
Right.
All right. We have official casting of Batman in the untitled Superman-Batman project.
Now, you know, I thought to myself, because I was thinking after I got your message, I was thinking, who could they have possibly named? Like, I don't even know, but I'm thinking, must be Batman. They must have named Batman. And I'm hoping it's Tom Arnold.
that is bold casting. That is, if they were ever going to go for a Dark Knight Returns Batman, that is the guy. That's the one you want, Tom Arnold. All right. Now, audio podcast. Make sure to use your words. Your video is off, so I can't see your video anyway. This is official. This is confirmed by both Warner Brothers and DC Comics that it is official. Batman will be played by Ben Affleck.
Oh. Well, that seems a step down. So we go from, wow. You know, Tom Arnold actually might have been a better choice after all. Well, here I was getting all excited because I thought to myself, like, oh, if it's Batman, who are they going to name? It's going to be somebody awesome and I'm going to be all excited. And now you give me the news and I'm like, oh, Ben Affleck, eh? Sweet. Can we get Michael Bay to direct it too? Then maybe we'll have a blockbuster on our hands. Yeah.
This is definitely more fun than Twitter tonight. to say it's mixed on Twitter is putting it lightly.
Wow.
It is pretty much negative, or why don't we give it time before we're so negative?
I'm pretty much willing to go negative right off the bat, and and my wife is going to be in thorough negative on it. So
I wish I had recorded my wife's reaction, but that kind of language we don't usually put on the podcast.
Yeah,
her the initial words she said were "f off."
Yeah, that's she didn't say "f." I'm going to go upstairs after this, and I'm going to say the same things, and I'm willing to bet that I'll get the exact same response, pretty much.
It actually devolved pretty quickly into just no, no,
yeah,
no.
Wow.
And she asked if George Clooney had already been busy.
yeah, George Clooney. I mean, say what you will, but he would have been a way better choice. But Tom Arnold's still the man.
All right, so let's set this up. It is Friday. It is 24 hours after I spoke to Matt and Brett. Mo has not been on Twitter in the past 24 hours and has missed the news cycle.
I have, yeah. I mean, as I say, I presume you said to me there's casting news. You said you recorded it with Matt and Brett. I presume it's World Finest. I do not know. You even said to me, do you want to just wait because movies aren't your forte and you won't know? And I'm like, yeah, it's true, I won't. By Wednesday, I probably still wouldn't. I mean, I just watched the animated Batman Year One yesterday. I'm like, I'm pretty much caught up now. I watched something that came out two and a half years ago. At least on that.
Ben McKenzie, one of my favorite young actors. I guess he's not that young anymore. It's been like 10 years since the OC was on. But I am a fan of Ben, Ben McKenzie. So,
What did he have to do with Batman Year One?
He was the voice of Batman Year One.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well, he's on.
What they did to it wasn't his fault.
that's true.
Yeah, I was desperately searching through my books looking for my, you know, my trade of Batman Year One. I cannot find it anywhere because I want to go. Where did they go wrong? Because it was almost there.
Don't you have the leather bound?
Not the leather bound. No. I have just a regular trade, old trade paperback of that, but I can't find it anywhere.
I've got that complete Frank Miller Batman that has.
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous piece. Yeah, so it's not a 900 things, I guess. It's not part of the.
That is not going anywhere. I've actually
never. That's not part of the purge.
I have never read Dark Knight Returns except that one, that edition I have. I've never
really?
Read in any other format.
Oh.
It's the first time I ever read it was when I got that at Trams.
Did it make it better?
I don't know. I guess so. I don't. What could I compare it to?
Good point.
It doesn't have Dark Knight Strikes Again in it. Though I did like Dark Knight Strikes Again more the second time.
No, you did. You did. Well, I have never read Dark Knight Strikes Again because I've heard such bad things on it, and I love Dark Knight Returns so much. So, you know, I'm just kind of like.
I mean,
it might make it better. I have a nice version of Dark Knight Returns, but I mean, if it's in the, it might make it better.
All right. So,
Batman Year One, though, I still think is the superior work. Like, that's the best Batman story ever told.
Hmm.
My opinion. All right. Anyways.
All right.
Okay. Moving on to. So I was really worried. What was the name of this guy who played Batman again in the Batman Year One who did his voice?
Ben McKenzie did the voice.
Okay, because it was hilarious because you mentioned Ben McKenzie, and I'm like, he's telling me that this guy's going to be Batman in the upcoming movie, and I don't know who he is. All right, so
he was the voice of the voice of Batman in Year One, and was on the OC. He was in Southland, which is an amazing show. All right, okay. Remember, you got to use your words. I'll see your facial expression, but our listeners will not.
Okay.
So try to express your thoughts. So. Untitled Batman Superman Project coming in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
We do have casting for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
This is official. It has been confirmed by Warner Brothers and by DC.
Can I make the guess that it's Ben Affleck? Because you're scaring me.
That is a really good guess. Batman will be played by Ben Affleck.
God, you're scared. Because I remember that rumor, like, that he was going to be the guy to take over from Nolan and direct the next film and star in it probably like 6 months ago, 8 months ago. So, you know, with the buildup, I just started going, oh, I bet you. Like, it started clicking into me. What if he's just going to play Batman in this film? And so there you go. There you go. So as you can tell, I'm not excited.
So in fairness, Daredevil's probably the most recent Ben Affleck movie you've seen, right? It's 10 years old, but that's probably...
That's actually probably true. I'm not gonna... I did the... For my work, I put commercials on the air, so I encoded the spot for Argo to put it on the air and get it... So I watched that spot in order to get it prepared for air and get the levels and the audio clipped and everything right. I watched the spot about 47 times. And I'm not even, that's like how many times, like on average, we figured out once. It's like 47 times per spot you watch it to get it all ready. So I've seen that film, sort of. Like, I spent my time. I put my time in.
Well, you spent 15 seconds. You've seen 15 seconds of it 47 times.
30 seconds, 47 times. Yes.
Well, 30 seconds, including your time codes, right? So.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. There's 15 frames in the front and the end, the count, right? Okay. You want to be technical, so. But
so you've seen 29 seconds of it.
I've seen 29 seconds of it 47 times. Whatever that equates to. It's like seeing a short film.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like watching a half hour episode, 22 minutes. It's basically, yeah. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of what else he's done in since then. And
The Town, Gone Baby Gone. And
come on now. Argo, come on.
That would be the biggest one, so.
Yeah.
Just that little Academy Award winner for Best Picture.
But what about the pieces of crap he made in between? He made some crap in between it. Like, if we're talking 9 years ago, he was still in a crap cycle.
Yeah, he was doing some crap 9 years ago.
There you go. I feel vindicated.
I think Geely and Jersey Girl before that, though. I don't remember.
No, definitely those came after Daredevil. Daredevil might be even more than 10 years now.
Daredevil's 2003.
But how can he play Bruce Wayne when that's just that Daredevil, his Matt Murdock, casts such a long shadow? That performance. How will people not get confused on screen and go, wait, isn't that Daredevil?
Well, if Chris Evans can be Human Torch and Captain America, then I think anyone can play two different characters.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, I mean, it took me a while. It took me a while, I'll tell you. Kept on waiting for him to say flame on.
not that you've seen Captain America.
I have.
Oh, you have seen that.
I've seen Captain America.
Oh, wow.
It's good. It's good. Not great, but it's good. It's unfortunately, the problem for me in Captain America is I'm like, just to build it up the whole movie, you're like, oh, I can't wait for that final fight when they finally go mano-a-mano and that cat. Oh, that never happens. Him and Red Skull never. They have a little fight in between, but then there's like stuff flying in a plane and explosions and cosmic cubes or whatever the hell they call it. And then, yeah, then he's frozen. So he wakes up with him waking up was cool. That was a cool scene. And he wakes up and stuff, you know, and they're playing like the old radio baseball and stuff like that.
So, Daredevil and Geely both came out in 2003. Paycheck and Jersey Girl and Surviving Christmas in 2004. Man, that guy was busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I hated him for so long.
And he was in a lot of stuff.
He was in so many movies and none of them any good.
But since then, Hollywoodland. State of Play, also pretty good.
Well, you know what? I'll just also obviously the whole Bennifer, you know, being everywhere in the media for that, which is partially his fault and partially not. I mean, it just made me sick of him too.
Yeah.
Plus, he wasn't good, so I don't care. I have to assume somebody else is really the one who did Argo, and he just, you know, paid somebody off to put his name on it. I figure. Gotta be. I figure it's got to be that. Like, you know what they did with Chris Evans and Captain America where they made him young? Remember they made him young and skinny and they put his and used the computer to put his face on? And,
that's right.
You know, I figure it's something like that. But yeah, man, Captain America, man, you really wanted that fight and you never got it. Didn't that piss you off? Ruined the whole movie for me.
Nothing ruined the movie for me.
it was good. It's 6.5 out of 10, I give it. Not spectacular. Not spectacular, but yeah.
No, it's that's about what it is on IMDb.
Is it?
It's about a 6.5, maybe a 7, something like that on IMDb.
Yeah,
I was noticing because I was curious how many of the Marvel movies have a lower IMDb rating than Man of Steel, and it's most of them actually.
Oh, I do believe that. I do believe that. Well, and I'll say again, having watched it, it's I liked it more in Iron Man 2. Which is the movie that ruined superhero movies for me. So I disliked it so much, right? and this is coming after Amazing, or you know, Spider-Man number 3 with Sandman and Venom. And so, I mean, it tells you.
That's pretty bad.
It really took, really didn't think much of that. But yeah, I didn't watch Captain America and go, I got to watch Avengers and Thor and stuff like that. Even though I think Thor actually looks like going to be better in this. But I will get around to him eventually. But yeah, no. So that Batman Year One, you want to talk a little more about that or?
I liked it okay. It was like, I don't know, I had the same problem with it as I had with the Dark Knight Returns one, which is that...
Which I never seen.
I watched the first part and I never bothered to watch the second part because it takes out stuff because it has to fit time, but the rest of it is so loyal to the original that it kind of was, like it didn't feel like there was any reason to watch it.
Yeah, I think you probably said it pretty well there. I mean, I'm watching it going... There's so much that's in there. I mean, usually they do these. They watch, because the week before I watched actually the Batman and Red Hood, which is a very faithful adaptation of the of the comic book, which I enjoyed the comic book. I enjoyed that quite a bit. I thought, yeah, nice job.
I think
this is faithful, but
Red Hood was combining. Red Hood was combining down a lot more material. Though. I think maybe that's why I
yeah.
more is that he was combining down like 10 or 12 issues or something, and
yeah,
instead of four.
Yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, I know this one is just. You know what it was though? It was the most. The reason I think it's the best Batman is because it's the most realistic. I mean, he screws up. He's not good all the time. It feels like if a guy actually trained and went around the world but decided to put a costume on, he'd have some successes, have some failures, and then real world, this is what it would be like. Whereas in this movie, they in the film adaptation, they up the action, they up the ability of Batman, they up the, you know, the everything is a little over the top. It doesn't, you know, the cars are a little faster, the people jump a little higher. Everything to make it more of a cartoon, and in doing so, it kind of took away what I think made the best. So it's not like it's a bad thing; it's just not what I was hoping for. But yeah, Ben Affleck. I just I haven't seen those other movies. How old is he now?
He is 41. 41, just a week and a half ago.
Yeah, I guess that's a good age for that's what the age I think of Batman as being. Unfortunately, he still looks 23.
I was grumbling on Twitter when Matt was making a point of calling him middle-aged, and like he's 9 months older than me. I'm not sure I'm really comfortable talking about an older Batman.
Well, you're awfully immature, so that helps.
That does, so. Yeah. My immaturity is what keeps me young.
I mean, based on that, I'm still four. So, yeah, no, but...
He is actually only a year and a half older than Christian.
So is he directing it, though? That's the thing, right?
No,
just going to play the role.
Yeah, it is Zack Snyder's directing.
It is Zack Snyder's directing. Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, what, no Val Kilmer? What?
My wife asked, was George Clooney busy?
It would have been interesting if they had... actually, that's the other person I was going to guess. If you had said no... I would have actually guessed George Clooney, that he was going to return to the role, and they were going to try
stunt casting. I mean, the ultimate stunt casting is Michael Keaton in Dark Knight Returns. That would be
the great. I watched Clear History this morning, actually, the film from Larry David that he did. It's very much Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it's a film with different characters. So he's actually doing characters. The HBO film came out a couple weeks ago here. And Michael Keaton has the most hilarious role in it, of like a bitter, bald, old guy who wants to blow up the rich guy's house. And he's just hilarious. And he's awesome in it. And yeah, I mean, I'd love to see him, and he would be great in that role. He could play the grumpy Batman, the older Batman, the perfect way. So I think if they ever did it, it would be like you say, stunt casting, sure, but I mean, who else are you going to put in there?
Adam West is slightly too old for even Dark Knight Returns. Being now in his mid-90s.
Yeah, but he's going to outlive me, you realize.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know, I have no question of that. So, but okay, Ben Affleck. Wow. All right, what's the general consensus on Twitter? Are people happy, upset?
Can I make a guess?
I guess that creators and actors and everybody who saw Argo, the 47 people that saw it, and loved it, and the town, same thing, are going, yeah, there's a great casting. For and then people who are more casual fans who still know the Ben Affleck that I know, who haven't seen as much of his newer work because, let's face it, they're not $200 million box office hits, are probably more skeptical. Am I guessing kind of correctly?
I would say the range that I'm seeing is furious nerd rage with the other end being cautious optimism. I don't think I've actually seen anyone go, yes, this is the casting, this is perfect. I don't think I've actually seen that. I've been pretty positive about it. But more in the, I think he's going to be a really good Bruce Wayne.
Well, okay,
I'm not sold on him necessarily as Batman. I'm not against it either, but I think he's going to be a really good Bruce Wayne.
If you're talking about who is Bruce Wayne, though, I mean, when you say that, you say he's going to be a really good Bruce Wayne. Sure, if he's the Bruce Wayne who is womanizing women and charming and putting on the persona, But I never think of that as Bruce Wayne. I think of that as persona. The real Bruce Wayne is the Batman, and he is a guy just with the mask off who's sitting there disturbed and just waiting for nighttime, you know, dreaming, thinking, spending all his time thinking about brooding, spending all his time thinking about how he could do, wishes he could do more. And that guy, can he play that? Like, even if you look at the town and you look at, you know, I mean, again, to go back to Daredevil, where he, there was moments where he tried to do that. Those didn't work very well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not actually, I don't hate that film.
Yeah. I don't either, actually.
I would give it a 6.5 out of 10 and a slightly higher mark to the director's cut, like 7, 7.5. I actually quite enjoyed it.
I think that's probably about what I would rank it. Yeah. I mean, the director's cut is quite a bit better.
Yeah, it is. It helps a lot.
I think as our audience will hear in the Scott Snyder, Greg Capullo interview, Scott Snyder describes the character as having three personas. There's Batman, there's the public face of Bruce Wayne, and then there's the Bruce Wayne who's in the Batcave and only Alfred sees.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I
mean, and
mask off. He's not the Batman because he's not doing that voice, but he's also not the public Bruce Wayne. Is a facade,
yeah.
And that is, like I say, he would be good at that. Michael Keaton was good at that too.
Yeah, I always said that Keaton was a great Bruce Wayne, a lousy Batman. Val Kilmer was a great Batman, a lousy Bruce Wayne.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably true.
And I don't think Bale was a great Bruce Wayne either. I thought he was a good.
No, Batman. I don't. Well, I still hate the voice. God, I hate the voice. I'm a big Michael Keaton fan, so it's unfair of me to judge. So, because I'm such a big fan of him, so
I think
so,
the second Batman Returns kind of jades me for that because I really don't like Batman Returns, and
I hated it the first time I watched it. Then many years later, I watched it again and really enjoyed it. And then it's been many years since then, so I guess it's time for the rubber match.
maybe we can start off the next episode with our best Christian Bale Batman impression.
That'd be awesome. It just got to me. I'm watching it at some point. I'm like, don't people just want to tell him to shut up? Wouldn't you just say, look, shut up? Can you talk to me like a normal person?
Or give him a lozenge.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, bothered me. But all right, okay, so we got my reaction. It's to recap, my reaction is,
Chris, did you hear yesterday's casting news?
Unfortunately, yes.
All right. Give us your reactions.
You know, I at first I was actually really displeased. Then I analyzed why I was displeased with the casting of Ben Affleck. And it turns out I don't terribly object to Ben Affleck being the Batman. But now, when the summer when it comes out, I no longer have the possibility of having a Ben Affleck movie that he directed and a Batman movie to go to see.
that is the most unique reaction I've heard.
Did he direct a movie that came out this summer?
Well, the last thing he directed was Argo.
Argo.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean that's a significant amount of time he's going to be spending on a Superman Batman movie that he could spend a significant amount of time making his own movie.
That's basically what we were doing here. We're trying to just get real quick before I had a chance to think about it too much. He got live my reaction to hearing it. He got Brett's live reaction. He got Matt's from Comic-Con's live reaction. And we just wanted to see if we can get your live reaction. You've had a little time to think of it and came up with something that leaves my brain twisted.
easily the most unique reaction I have heard. That is a very different reaction than I've come across.
That and... He's very out of shape, man, for Batman.
I've heard he's already started training.
Yeah. Human growth hormone in HGH in Hollywood runs rampant.
It does indeed.
There is no drug testing for human growth hormone. for on movie sets, unlike Major League Baseball. So I'm pretty sure, you know, that it'll be fine.
Yeah, I think that Stallone would be in a lot of trouble if they started.
He's been caught with it, in the border of Australia, and he just went. Yeah. He's like, it's good for you, you know. It keep you hot in shape. You know this. It's, and what the hell is that? You know, I was like, it's good for you.
I also believe Ben Affleck's little partner buddy Matt Damon would make a better Batman than. But I'm sort of against this whole thing to start with, so
I don't think
there should be a Batman Superman movie.
Okay, just saying that. I mean, I'm a much bigger fan of Matt Damon. I really like Matt Damon. What role would Matt Damon be great at? Throw Batman out of the mix, or you can include Batman. But if you had a role for Matt Damon, you're like, he needs to be a superhero. Who should he be?
Nightwing.
Flash. Too old. Flash? He'd be a good Flash, yeah. Barry Allen?
Actually, Jay Garrick, I'd love to see an old school. Matt Damon in that stupid hat would be hilarious.
The pie tin hat.
I'd like to see him as Daredevil. I'd like to see
him. he's a shorter guy. I'm trying to think of, like, superheroes.
He is, yeah.
When there's, like, the Golden Age Adam.
Could he take over? Could he take over Wolverine? Wolverine's supposed to be short, and he's not when Hugh Jackman does him.
No, I mean, Hugh Jackman's, what, 7'4", I think. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, tall, skinny dude. So
Matt Dillon is also well-groomed, which you would go against Wolverine.
Oh, so is... Have you seen how metrosexual Hugh Jackman is when he's not playing Wolverine?
Yes, but he is capable of growing hair in odd places.
So you spent a little intimate time with him, have you? Or what's, by the way,
it's like
a
super. I haven't seen Les Miserables, so.
Let me say, Matt or Hugh Jackman in the Wolverine, evidence indeed that, as I said, there is no drug testing for human growth hormone in Hollywood.
Indeed.
All right, Chris, I think we got what we needed from you. Anything else you want to add?
Nope, I'm
anything
done.
Anything else you need, Chris, to add there?
No, I think that was a unique reaction.
That was different. I do have to ask you this. Of course, Chris, you're in the same province as us in Alberta, Canada here. We're in the city of Calgary. You're in the city, the town of Lloydminster. So why does it say town? You're in the town of Lloydminster. And you're in the urban center known as Lloydminster. And why does it say on your Skype that you live in Lloydminster, Cameroon? I'd love to get that one figured out. It made me almost lose my train of thought and laugh.
I have no idea.
It's next alphabetically on the drop-down window that he didn't fill it right.
Okay.
there wasn't
it's never been a point before.
No, it's never been noticed before.
Chris, did you hear the Fan Expo news today? Jeff Lemire's new book?
No.
I might as well get this reaction from both of you right now.
Okay,
we're going to have a whole episode of just people reacting to things.
Jeff Lemire, much like Scott Steiner, Canadian.
A Canadian treasure, indeed. And Fan Expo on in Toronto, Jeff Lemire, he better be the keynote speaker or something. Local boy makes good. He's from Southern Ontario. And they announced that he's been working on Justice League of America and will be starting a new storyline where in early 2014, where the book will rename and they'll have changes to the lineup. It will rename as the Justice League of Canada.
That'll be, oh yeah.
Now there's nothing sacred anymore.
Oh, please. Please, that's awesome. That's awesome. I would have been, even if he was just doing JLA, I would have been like, I'm going to try that. You know, I'm going to give that a good shot. You know, get Jeff Johns off there, get a fresh blood on that. But when I hear that, I'm like, oh, that's going to be so cool.
don't know. You hear that, but are you picturing what I'm picturing? We're going to get five guys in parkas.
This is Jeff. Jeff Lemire's actually Canadian. This isn't like Alf Flight that has had 30 effing years of Americans writing it.
Yeah, say you get who's a good Canadian? Is Dave Finch, was he Canadian? A Canadian artist?
No, he's not. And it's they have announced who's drawing it, and I'm blanking on who it is. It's a British artist, actually.
It's a British artist. Okay, well, that's fine. Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I don't think it'll be people in Toronto. I do think we probably will have one issue where when you turn the pages, it's nothing but white. It's a blank white page for four. It'll be a snowstorm.
Yes.
You know, last for a couple pages, but
he has said that they will be based in Ontario, primarily Toronto, and their home base will not be a hockey rink. It will be.
They have other buildings.
there's a tall tower there. They haven't announced what characters will be on the team, though. There will be he'll be introducing a new character who is a First Nations character.
Canadian First Nations?
Canadian First Nation.
Shaman.
he promised, I have begged him already, and he has at least Twitter promised that the First Nations character will not summon the Great Spirit.
Oh, good, good.
John Byrne alternative covers.
That would be a coup.
Who was that? Who was the First Nations character that was in the Super Friends?
Apache Chief.
Nunchuk. No, that was his magic word.
Apache Chief.
Apache what Chief. Was
it? Yeah. Apache Chief. All right.
With the awesome power where he grew very large and you could see up his. His Apache outfit.
Yes, that's right.
The running gag.
Look, whatever. It's okay. He's not Scottish. It's not like a kilt. He's allowed to wear underwear underneath there. A Scottish guy growing in a kilt, growing big. That's a whole other show.
my coworkers were uncomfortable when the window washers and kilts were were working on the building.
That's awesome. All right. Well, all right. No, I'm loving Justice League Canada. I'm trying to think of outside of Wolverine, who is the most famous Canadian superhero, and if there's any famous Canadian superheroes in the DC universe, and largely because the DC universe is placed in things like Central City and Metropolis, and
not a lot,
you know,
not a lot.
Yeah, Coast City. So they are not even a real city. So of course they're scattered across America. So it'd be more difficult to have one.
Well, and Dan Juergens unfortunately made me a sad panda today, a sad Canadian, when he retracted the statement that editors and Jeff Johns have made before that Booster Gold is Canadian now. He has denied that was ever the case. It has never appeared in a comic. It has been said by Jeff Johns, was said by the editor of JLI, but Juergens has said a couple of times now, including today, that Booster Gold is not Canadian. It's never appeared in the comic.
We never even got a Guardians of the Globe, did we?
Global Guardians, actually, which is basically what I thought JLI was. At the very end of the JLI run, in the annual, when they said kind of what happens to each of the characters, two of them are said to have, they will go off and form the Global Guardians and will become great heroes. And that's where those characters were left. Godiva and, August General and Iron, I think was the other character that they go off and form the Global Guardians. But they haven't been heard from in the past year.
Well, here's the thing about Booster Gold. I just want you to say, just keep saying he's Canadian, even if he isn't. It's people will start to believe it. Look at Scott Snyder.
That's right. Who I'm sure that by now Scott Snyder believes he's Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's end our little foray here. All right. thanks, Keith, for that idea that we didn't know was going to be this show's topic. That was this show's topic. And
thanks to Mo for really filling that out.
I was just kind of bored and felt, obviously I was lonely. Look, I'm often lonely, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. I
what's going
on? So we started talking about other stuff.
It's actually funny that I was on Skype with Matt, and then I see Brett come online, and as soon as he does, because Matt and I had done the reaction part. Like, sorry, Matt, I gotta go.
I know. I actually, it's great because I left the reaction in for Matt when he's just like, oh, okay, then I'll talk to you later. Then you better go do that. Then yes, I'll talk to you later.
Nice. Nice.
It's breaking news.
Yes.
I have yet to do breaking news on the podcast, even though we do news every week. Actual breaking news, and this was my one chance.
All right, well, let's move on.
It's always broken by the time we get to it.
That's right. It's really broken in by the time.
Usually. All right, yeah, sometimes we bring up a story like last week that was 2 months old.
That's right.
Anyways.
Like Michael Keaton being named.
Did you hear that Christian Bale will knock you back as Batman?
No, get the hell out of here. That was, I did break that on there, didn't I, actually?
I love those. I love those. People have dug up a whole pile of news stories from 1989 of the letter writing campaigns against Michael Keaton to play Batman.
Oh, I know.
And how he's too scrawny. He's not known for the right depth of work. It'll be too much like the 1960s show.
Well, he was at that point the gung-ho guy. He was Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom and Beetlejuice. And Beetlejuice was his biggest film, probably.
Yeah, I don't want to see Michael Keaton as Batman.
I do, actually. I didn't then. I do now. I want to see Michael Keaton in The Dark Knight Returns.
I think he'd be awesome. Yeah. All right, like I say, let's move on here. So we're talking about Wii Views because Keith.
Here I come to save the day.
We're saving you from bad comics.
Damn straight. Back on track. We have a whole bunch to get to here. Brett, why don't you open it up?
Okay. Sure, I'll start with. I might as well start with American Vampire Anthology. Let's get one of the big ones out of the way. And when I say big, this is a monstrous book. I was shocked to see the price at $7.99, because that's a damn big price. But this is a really big book, and it's got a ton of stories in there from a lot of talent. But I think the one thing that I will say is that it truly illustrates to me why Scott Snyder is one of the best writers in comics today. Because of everything, I still preferred Scott Snyder's intro and outro to the whole book to every other story that was in the book. But there is some really good stuff in here. There's a couple of stories that I didn't like very much, but overall I think there's more good than bad, and I continue to appreciate the American Vampire series.
Keith?
It's got a story by Canadian treasure Jeff Lemire.
That's true. Yes. but I had to go with the other Canadian treasure, Scott Snyder, instead.
I enjoyed most of the stories in this. I mean, it is an anthology. When you have an anthology that has more than one story in it,
yes,
you're going to get some variation.
Thanks to Mo for clearing that up for us.
That was the second dumbest thing said last week. But the crown absolutely has to go to Keith, who last week, that's me, who said there are no big news stories announced in August. less than 24 hours before Ben Affleck was announced. That was the dumbest thing said last week. I like the Jeff Lemire story. I like the Frank Avilia story, and the Becky Cloonan was probably my favorite out of the book. I thought it was an interesting mix of creators. Ray Fox did art on a book, on one of the stories.
On the Jeff Lemire one, in fact, yeah.
On the Jeff Lemire.
Couple of good Canadian boys.
That's right. And Ray Fox, not quite Canadian treasure yet. He's
he's Canadian.
He's Canadian. Yeah. He's more like, he's not a treasure, but we can call him a toonie. He's a Canadian toonie.
Is he beloved? He's beloved.
He's beloved Canadian toonie.
That's right. I really liked it.
Canadian to even get that reference, by the way.
One of these days, I'm going to get around to reading The American Vampires and you know, the importance of this characters introduced here and the references that I think I should understand will really carry a lot of weight. I can't wait for that day. So it will encourage me to go back and finally get around to reading some of these.
I didn't read it because, well, 72 pages of vampires, can't do it. Hate the vampires.
Well, yeah, but American Vampire isn't like any other vampire story I've read over the last decade. I have to say that. And because, I mean, I've only read a couple of American Vampires. I have sitting here the first trade paperback, have not gotten to it yet. I mean, I read the miniseries and the one-shot that came out, the first issue of the miniseries came out almost 2 years ago, the one-shot that came out just a couple months ago, and I thought they were both great, and I can't wait to read it. That said, this is the first time I've ever read an American Vampire where I went, boy, I'd be better served. I didn't feel like I had missed anything having not read the series, reading the one-shot in that miniseries first issue, the one featuring Dracula. I felt like I was missing a little something here. But it's, again, you know, here's the thing. Anthologies have more than one story in them. And some are good, some are bad. No, but I'm gonna say I my problem for this came. I read this, and then I read, and this will be my review for Batman Incorporated. We're just gonna roll into this here. Batman Incorporated back to back, and that's also that's an anthology. It's not as big, but that's another anthology. You know, except not necessarily focusing on the same character, you know, of different characters, but. I think it was just too much short stories anthology, not enough meat back to back in it. That I don't really think I've really got a real fair read of it, and that's my own fault for reading it in this order, or maybe it's DC's own fault for putting out these same two books in the same week. Chris, what do you think of Batman Incorporated spreading off that?
I like the potential it introduced. I was actually afraid once Morrison left Batman Incorporated that we would never see some of the wackier Batman incarnations around the world again. This book sort of opens up that door, and I actually hope some of these are actually included into what we consider the New 52. That said, I found the book very. I really liked the story with the Japanese Batman. Not so much with the other two stories in the book.
I hated that one. The art bothered me.
Yeah, I can easily see this. It was a very manga style art, but on a whole, I enjoyed that story, and I didn't enjoy the other two. But if they were to come out with a Japanese Batman book, I'd actually buy it. Actually, any of the international Batman, they come out with their own book. I'm going to give it more than a decent try. These are characters I like, but
that, you know what? That's one thing that felt to me though, like a desperate attempt to get people to hopefully generate an interest in some of these characters. And if it worked for you, then it's a success.
Mm-hmm. Really, Chris? I thought Chris bought everything.
It's not quite that bad.
He's really cut back to half of everything.
That's right.
Well, half of everything this week
buys the other half. Comic book podcast.
I love that we're judging Chris for liking too many.
Yeah, yeah. How dare you like all those comic books?
you use your disposable income to purchase comics and then enjoy them. How dare you?
No, wait, I think you guys are missing the point. You guys are forgetting the whole point here of everything we're saying about Chris. It's not that he buys his comic books and enjoys them. It's that the ones he doesn't enjoy, he's still buying. It's like, this sucked. This wasn't very good. And I'm really not looking forward to what I read next month. Like, that's Chris.
They could turn it around any day now, though.
I've been on Twitter. I've been on Facebook. I don't think he's alone.
Yeah, that's true. I'm still mad for what you did to Peter Parker in this whole Dr. Octopus thing. I'm going to stop reading this as soon as it starts sucking.
I now compare those that are still complaining about the new 52 to following your ex-girlfriend on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
Finding a better new boyfriend.
Yeah.
That guy? Really? That's what you wanted.
All right, Keith, give your review of Batman Incorporated.
I didn't like it.
All right. It's a good review.
It's good. Well, he probably just stole your review, word for word.
No, I had something more to add to the review now.
I thought Bat-Cow was okay. I'm not a big fan of Batman Inc. I really wasn't a fan of Morrison's Batman. I found it kind of pretentious isn't quite the word, but it's about 90% of the word I want.
Yeah.
And
so in other words, it's Morrison.
And this is like the one of the epilogues. There's a reference at the back actually to I have one more Batman story, one more issue to tell, and I was confused by it because I've never heard of this reference before that there's something left. I thought he was done, but I don't know. I didn't connect any of the characters. I did feel like I was missing something, not having read much of Batman Inc. None of the characters meant anything to me. So the entire story that was about the loss of one of the characters, I had no emotional connection to that character, so I had no emotional connection to the loss of that character. And I thought Bat-Cow was kind of cute.
All right, then. Now, see, I did read it. I read it actually before American Vampire, so that was a whole hell of a lot of anthology. I will say, though, that I'm glad I read American Vampire afterwards to kind of, you know, bring me back into enjoying comics, because, you know... Batman Incorporated is the kind of comic that could actually make me want to quit forever. Not to suggest it's bad, but I consider the Batman Incorporated concept to be one of the top five single worst concepts in all of comic book history. I hate it so much that I didn't want to read this per se, and so I was a little surprised when I hit, you know, like the first story, and it was just like, yeah, that was about what I was expecting. I thought that the El Gaucho story was actually passable, so I was kind of surprised on that. Then I hit Bat-Cow, and it was all back down into the gutter. So that was just fine, and it just rounded out pitifully at the end. So, I hate this book. Yeah,
I can't wait to Batman Incorporated Zombies.
Brett, I'd say,
much happier with that. Yeah,
your rant on this book was Shakespearean in its beauty. That was something else.
So if it's in the top five worst ideas and concepts in comics, where's Ben Reilly?
Ooh, well, it's in the top five. See, now perhaps next week when we do our lists, perhaps. That will be one of my choices, this top five worst concepts in comic books, according to Brett.
Look, you have to keep one thing in mind when the Ben Reilly thing was happening. Superman had just been killed, and it got them a lot of press and a lot of sales. Mm-hmm. And Superman was now killing Spider-Man. So there was a desperation, and they were doing things like what they were doing with the Zero Hour and Hal Jordan and all this stuff. So there was a certain desperation that, oh my God, people are sick of Peter Parker and we can't kill him because that would be copying Superman, but we got to do something. And so that, you know, I mean, there was a certain logic to it. At the time, I don't think it was necessarily as bad an idea as looking back it obviously was. Now, I have to say to you, though, before I move on, did any of you read the Knight and Squire miniseries that came out?
No.
No?
No, that was what I meant. I that was the character that.
That's the character that died.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should definitely read it. It's one of the funniest books probably put out in the last decade, especially if Chris likes whimsy. It's so British, though, that at some point you really start going, I don't understand what they're saying. They're speaking another language. Like, he tries to put in so many words and slang that only a British person could know. And then the back, he has a glossary of it. It gets a little insane. But it's a really, really, I can't remember who did it, but it was actually a really witty book. So a really good comedy book.
I'm adding it to the queue.
Yeah, it's one I picked up. The first issue is probably my favorite issue. But yeah, really good. Okay. Brett, what would you like to do next?
All right. Well, I'll just go from one piece of crap to another piece of crap, right into right into the Damsel's Giant Killer killer book. And now, okay, so
don't bury the lead. Tell us what you really think.
Okay, I'll just say first off, this book is it Dynamite? It's from
Dynamite. It Dynamite. Is.
And so the it's written by Leah Moore and John Repion, and illustrated by Dietrich Smith. For those last two books, because they were anthology styles, we didn't give the artist and writer, because we'll just say various.
Because we would be here for the rest of the evening. But now, I liked it more than Batman Incorporated, but that is to say that 10% more is not exactly a successful comic book. I didn't, and I actually think it's probably better than the first issue of Damsels, but yeah, it's a piece of crap. It's poorly written and it's poorly drawn, and oh man, Damsels, really? I can't believe it's going.
There's even your cat hates it. I mean, listen to
that's me. Keith's cat, actually. Keith's cat really hates
it. Well, Keith's cat does hate it. Your cat. Your cat probably just hasn't read it yet. Give it a time. If it does, probably.
Yeah, that was that.
Probably hate it.
That was that hairball that I discovered. That was his reaction.
Yeah, the hairball was his reaction. So Keith is just getting back in from calming down his cat, and it will be Keith's turn now.
Oh my poor cat!
By the way, Keith, Brett didn't like it.
Yeah,
I did not enjoy it. If it had been 10 pages shorter, I might have liked it. it had good bits. It was overwritten. It was too long. It really was like a one note gag, and took too long. Like as a short story, it really would have worked. As a full issue, meh. I kind of like the concept. They kind of told the same joke three or four times, and the ending was okay as a one shot. I won't be back because there's not a second issue.
Good math.
and my cat, I'm trying to calm down. I don't know what her issue is, but maybe she's not a fan of that cat.
I was shocked. I did a real little research on this. Damsels has a fan base. We've reviewed, I think, a couple issues of Damsels, and we've never had anything positive to say about it, unfortunately. And I hated this issue. All I can really say about Damsels is, Alan Moore, do you know what your daughter is doing? Terrible, terrible book. Don't go near this.
She's overwriting stuff. Could you, Alan? I can't imagine Alan Moore doing that.
Yeah, but when Alan Moore overwrites stuff, it tends to have good dialogue. There's just way too much of it.
It's still intelligent and witty.
This is just.
I didn't realize this was his daughter.
Dumb stuff. Yeah, Lee Moore, and her husband.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, this is a book. See, we get this as a PDF review copy, and all I see on there is Giant Killer. And there was a series, I believe it was Dan Barretten, a series called Giant Killer all those years ago, and it was just tremendous. And so I'm just looking forward to this. And then I get to the first page, I'm like, oh, open the PDF, and I'm just. My disappointment was, just kind of like my reaction to Ben Affleck.
Just not quite as powerful.
But pretty close. And then the thing is, I think there's certain panels, like Dietrich Smith, who does the art in this, certain panels where I go, man, that's such a beautiful panel. And it's a beautiful work here and beautiful work in spots there. And then as the book goes on, it's like one of those things like, depending on what action he needs, the sizes of the weapons and the characters and all of this changes from panel to panel depending on what, like if he wants to tell something that's, you know, a giant's head getting cut off, that giant is all of a sudden smaller and that sword is all of a sudden bigger than it was the panel before, because that's what makes the action plausible in that panel, not having anything to do with the story. So it's really poorly done. And I don't think the dialogue's that bad or the pacing's that bad. And yet this whole thing's just so damn ridiculous. Like when you're reading a fantasy book and you go, man, that's just too ridiculous to believe. Something's gone wrong. Speaking of overwritten, we're going to move on to another book, Overtaken, from Aspen. Look, here's what I'll say about this book, why it didn't work for me. It's not the art or the story or anything. But if you were to pick up the Oxford Dictionary and decide to read it from beginning to end, it's far less dense and wordy than this book. It's so dense. Nothing happens. It sets up a little bit in the beginning, and then nothing happens for the rest of the book. Just a bunch of talking. Just lost me. Chris?
I never thought I'd miss zombies on the last page. Because this doesn't even have zombies on the first page. Or any... nothing happens.
No, it doesn't.
This is a zero issue at best. I have no idea where this series is going. And I'm not interested to find out. We got a husband-wife team that seems to be affected by something somewhere, but there's no hook. There's no story in those 22 issues. Perhaps this was written as a larger piece, but as first issues goes, it didn't intrigue me enough to pick up the second issue. Beautifully drawn, but the story isn't there. And that's kind of my view of every Aspen comic I've ever read. So,
I'll just say that those pencils were done by Marco Lorenzano. I hope I'm getting that right. Marco Lorenzano. The writer on this one's Frank Mastromoro. Frank Mastromoro, unfortunately. I wish those names were a little bit easier to pronounce, so that would have gone smoother, but they weren't. Keith?
I think if you're going to do a comic that's got parking your Jeep on the last page, that parking the Jeep should be on the first page. yeah, it was crappy.
Brett?
It's got words and pictures, and therefore it's a comic. And
that's what qualifies it as a comic, and that's it.
Yeah. After that,
but it has so many words. Brett, are we sure it's not a prose book? It had so many words. Are we 100% sure?
Not 100% sure. It could be one of those illustrated prose pieces. But at any rate, that's the extent of my interest in it.
Okay. Brett, go on to whatever you want to do next.
All right. Well, I'll jump on to Itty Bitty Hellboy by Art and Franco. And, you know, Art and Franco are really getting around lately. I mean, between their own Ah Yeah comics and finishing off the...
Baltazar?
Yeah.
Give his full name. Art Baltazar and Franco.
Yeah. But, you know, between that, between writing... for the Five fans, their DC Teen Trillionaires book, Green Team, and now Itty Bitty Hellboy for five issues. Hellboy, I think, is a very hard thing to make into a funny kids book, and they managed to make Hellboy cute, and they also managed to make the stories kind of fun, but I don't find them as much fun as I usually do their work, so it's not my favorite of the Art and Franco books, and I am a really big fan of Art Baltazar, but I may continue reading it, but I'd rather keep reading Ah Yeah comics.
All right, I'll give you my opinion here, because...
it is Keith Cern, you realize.
Sorry? It could be anyone's turn you want. You could have just gone.
No, this is snake format. We can't ruin that now.
Oh, yeah, like anyone other than you understands snake
format. I'm going to break the key podcasting rule. I'm going to hold up my little Hellboy sticker that I got from at the Chicago Comic Convention from Art and Franco. I wish I read some Hellboy and actually knew who any of these characters were.
Mm.
I know the ones that were in the movie, so I sort of get it. It's like an extra issue of Tiny Titans that has Hellboy in it. If Hellboy was a DC character, this could have just been another issue of Tiny Titans. It was cute. That's about all I'll say. It was cute.
All righty. It's my turn now?
What the hell? It ain't mine.
If I know.
Okay. Well, take it, man. Take it.
I actually like Tiny Titans. I thought it was a funny book. However, extending the concept over to Hellboy is a little bit more of a what? Because in the Titans book, it was definitely marketed towards kids. And marketing Hellboy towards kids with a large contingent of the book being taken up by a Nazi and a ghost murderer, I think there's some questionable content there. I think this book either has to be a whole lot smarter to appeal to the Hellboy audience or not use the property at all. I was a little offended. I really didn't get this book at all.
You don't call him a Nazi though in the book.
No. They do take off all the insignias and like that. But I mean, he is, to me, he is that character from the Hellboy series. Maybe I'm bringing too much in with me, but he's still Hellboy and he's still a devil. And you have a Nazi standing beside him with or without the insignia.
But the Hellboy movie, Chris, the Hellboy movie, and especially the Hellboy animated features, were already a little bit more softened, especially the animated features like Blood and Iron were already a little more softened as far as being something you would show a younger audience.
And he's a lot less devil than, say, Hot Stuff from the Archie comics.
Yeah, I've never found that really overly. I've never thought of Hellboy as being an adult or mature reader's book by any means, to be honest with you.
No, I just think having a Nazi, even without the insignias, as basically what could be marketed as a plushie, kind of questionable. I do enjoy Baltazar's name. I immediately want to go watch Battlestar Galactica. but no, I did not enjoy this book. It wasn't. I needed it to either be smarter to appeal to me, or star somebody else.
All right, I think those are legitimate. That's a legitimate concern, Chris.
Although I would like to say before you go, Mo, where else can you hear Nazi plushie together?
Only on We Talk Comics at WeTalkPodcast.com. Anyways, and Comicosity. Anyways, I feel like you could just take my review of Kiss Kids last week and flop it over this to a large degree, but this is a little bit better than that, I think. There's some jokes that are lame, but one of the things is it seems like it's a series of individual stories, and then you realize each one of those individual stories actually tied into a longer story. And by the end of it, I found it surprisingly charming and enjoyable, and in no way should it be. It shouldn't have worked, and yet it did despite it, and that's actually surprising to me. It gets better and more charming than as it goes on, and that's probably the best I have to say about it. Now, I'm not going to give a full review to this one. I'm just going to, because there's another book that came out this month or this week. And we actually read this original book, just quickly. The Wake, though, the director's cut came out. I just flipped through it. Anybody else take a look at this thing?
I know what director's cuts are, so I didn't
bother. I glanced at it, yeah. I really like the spot where they showed you the pencils, the color plate, inked, and then the word balloons added. I thought that was kind of cool. This, particularly the color plate. I'd love to see a whole issue just the color plate.
Well, yeah, no, I think you're right. It's kind of neat, but I mean, it's why is it in when I hear director's cut in a film, I go, oh, that's their true vision, and I'm going to get a different movie. Even like I can watch it, you know, director's cut of Alien and you know, the theatrical cut, and it's actually quite a different experience. Whereas director cuts in comic books just means, hey, we're going to throw some extra crap at you at the end to give you a little extra content, but it's not actually, never feels like it's actually, like it's always just a bit of a ripoff to me, these things.
That's why
it's an interesting behind the scenes. It's an interesting behind the scenes, but it's, I mean, it doesn't use the term the way that movies do. It's not,
I think that's what bugs me.
It's not like, you know, it's not like the comic with an extra two pages that got deleted. It's, you know, but I mean, behind the scenes probably doesn't give you the same, like, here's a bunch of stuff that's not inked. I don't know if that's really the best marketing either.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, here, we're going to give you in this book that's going to cost extra money, what Valiant already gives you for free. You know, sorry, the uninked books, whatever. I don't know. Anybody else? Chris, Brett, you have anything else to say?
Nope.
No.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the last book of the week then. What do we got? Station to Station.
Station to Station.
What company was this from?
Dark Horse.
This was Dark Horse. Okay. And it's a script by Karina Becko and art by Gabriel Hardman. Script by Karina Becko and Gabriel Hardman. Art and lettering by Gabriel Hardman, who, so I'll give him all the credit or her all the credit deserved. I think this is probably a good book. Somehow reading this, though, I felt like I was reading a book that could have come, like it has a look and a feel and the dialogue, the story, all of it is like something from a Gold Key book from the 1960s. Like it just felt like something from another era. And I had, for that reason, I felt like I had a distance from the book and couldn't connect to it emotionally. I also felt like the ending kind of came out of nowhere, and that kind of hurt it for me. I wanted to like this book more than I did. Chris?
I didn't have a connection to this book either. In fact, I spent the entire book trying to figure out what property it connected to, and it doesn't have one. As Keith graciously informed me before the podcast, this was a series of shorts collected from Dark Horse Presents. I would like to like it more, but for the first little bit, it was sort of a Jurassic Park ripoff, and then it turned into some sort of poorly done Twilight Zone episode. Didn't enjoy the book, and I actually found the so-called twist ending a little confusing. So, no points. Just didn't connect with me at all.
I had no idea what happened at the end of this book.
Thank God. I was hoping somebody else was having trouble with that.
I really don't know what happened at the end of this book. I enjoyed the first book. I enjoy Hardman and Becko. Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounced it.
Okay. I enjoy their work. They wrote Planet of the Apes for a couple of years. I really enjoyed those books. And I kind of wanted to like this more than I did. And I think if I had read this in an anthology, it might have worked better for me because the flow just didn't quite work. It didn't flow as one story. And we see that in a lot of the Dark Horse stuff that gets collected back up is that they take out any interstitials or anything and it just doesn't flow as well. Because it was written to come to crescendos every 8 pages or whatever. And so the flow isn't the same as a 24-page book when we do that. So please write in, tell me what happens at the end of this book. I read the last 3 pages several times and still don't really know what I was supposed to look at.
All right. Yeah, I see what you mean about the flow. I definitely agree with the fact that, especially when they do compile the Dark Horse Presents. But otherwise, I really liked the book. I thought that it was... I did wind up getting interested in the characters and interested in the scenario. And I liked the ending. But yeah, so this one worked for me, and I would definitely read more.
and tell me after the podcast what you think happened.
All right. I think that's it then, gentlemen, for the show. You can email us at comics@wetalkpodcast.com. I am Mo_WeTalk, M-O, no E on my name. And if you want to reach me on Twitter, Brett is B-R-E-T-T, Brett_WeTalk on Twitter. Chris is nice and easy. He's Chris_WeTalk. Only difference is all his letters are lowercase. I don't think that matters. Keith, being a rebel, is at CubReporterK on Twitter. And gentlemen, are we going to go OUT, or do you have any last plugs or anything you want to give out?
My new Access All Ages will be available by the time this podcast goes up on Comicosity.
At Comicosity, yeah.
I want to wish a special happy second anniversary to the New 52, which turns 2 years old this coming Sunday.
Chris has nothing.
I got nothing. I'm looking forward to Villains Month next month.
Okay. We are officially for the 90th episode, Chain Reaction, OUT. Out!